Hello, hello. Welcome to JP Podcast.
What's up, everybody?
This is episode 6, and it's your girl, Ja. I am the J in JP Podcast.
And it's your girl, QP. QP Ski.
QP Ski.
And I am the P in JP Podcast. How y'all doing out
there?
Let's
go. Episode 6. Paris and I are so excited about this episode.
This is going to be juicy.
Yes, this is a special episode that we will be doing once a month, and it is called Dear JP. So essentially, you're able to submit any type of questions that you have or any advice that you're seeking to JP, so Paris and I, and we will give our off-the-dome, honest feedback, opinion.
Anything.
Every single month for this special episode. And don't feel too bad if you didn't get a chance to submit your questions for this episode. There will be multiple opportunities after this one for you to get advice from JP.
Get a little advice, a little commentary.
A little commentary on your situation. And once again, like we said in our previous outro for our other episode, this is 100% anonymous.
Anonymous.
So do not worry. We will not air your dirty laundry. We will not call names.
Know.
Shout out to City. Right. Nothing like that. It's just...
Dear.
JP. Honest feedback. Honest feedback. But without further ado, if you once again did not get a chance to submit your question, you can always submit that to us via email. That's jppodcast2024@gmail.com. Or you can also follow us on Instagram, Facebook, same thing, JP Podcast or JP Podcast 2024.
You definitely gonna find us. We're getting up there.
For sure. But without further ado, we're gonna get into our very first Dear JP.
All right, let me get to my voice.
Like the strawberry letter.
Right.
Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
Oh my God, I used to love strawberry letter.
If you're from Chicago, you definitely know
what strawberry letter is. Yes, 7.5. Yes, please.
Hey, we're not sponsoring y'all now.
Oh my God, we're not sponsoring nobody. Thank you. But I used to just love that.
So. Yes. All right. Get your voice. Dear JP, I found out my girlfriend of 2 years has an OnlyFans and has been making a lot of money. She started it a year into our relationship, and I vaguely remember telling her I am uncomfortable with you doing that. And still to this day, I am not comfortable, especially because she lied to me and deceived me.
Sheesh.
I know, right? Damn. I pay the bills, but she does buy nice gifts, and she did pay off my car. But I thought it was from a corporate job she supposedly hid. How do I approach this to her? I mean,
your money. You know what I'm saying? Like, she does OnlyFans, so what?
Is somebody touching her?
That's what I'm saying. Like, OnlyFans or doing any type of, like, chat type of porn, or I don't even know what type of porn that is, but whatever.
Virtual,
like digital porn.
Like, wait, question. What was she doing on OnlyFans? Because you know what? Some people who do different things.
But even still, nobody's touching her. But I can understand not wanting your spouse to be naked all over the internet, or if she was naked, or half naked, or whatever.
I'll get in a 2-for-1 combo.
Sheesh. I just feel like, you know, closed mouths don't get fed. Just, you know.
She keep working her corporate job as long as it's bringing in money.
Yeah, so she just, you know, quote unquote, her corporate job. Just let her, you know what I'm saying?
Let her live a life.
She do what she gotta do.
Is she cheating on you? Like, if she ain't
paying your bills,
right?
Though.
She pays your car. Okay. What kind of car was it?
Yeah.
Was it a Mercedes?
It don't matter what type of car it was. She paid your car off.
Yes, that
you
too.
Were supposed to pay off.
That too. But,
so
but,
yeah,
but was
mind
it
your
a
business.
Jeep? Was it a Tesla?
First of all,
was it that
what's wrong? What's wrong with a Jeep?
Nothing. I love a Jeep.
Now, if it was one of them ugly ass Lambo, not Lambo trucks, but those little robo trucks. What are they, Cybertruck?
The ones that look like.
That look like beep bop. I am Optimus Prime.
Yes, it looks like. I don't like that one.
It looks
that
like
ugly.
A fucking Transformer.
That ugly.
Like, no thank you. No thank you. But regardless of what type of car it was, I just feel like let her pay your bills and keep your mouth shut.
Let her keep giving you nice gifts.
Exactly.
Did she get you a, you know,
sometimes.
A Cuban.
Sometimes you just gotta turn a blind eye.
Yeah.
Yeah, act like you don't see it.
Yeah. As long as it's not really hindering a relationship, it ain't doing nothing detrimental to be like,
it ain't
you did this to break. If it ain't nothing like that, man.
It ain't broke, don't fix it.
Right, let that girl make her money. She's spending it on you. It's just like how I was saying the other day, Chris Brown, he charging $1,000 to take these pictures with girls, and he married.
Facts.
So she shouldn't even be tripping because, baby, what? You bringing that money home. I'm eating off this.
Facts.
Cashed out.
Facts.
If you know what I mean, you know what cashed out said.
Okay, but yes, verdict is do what you gotta do. Our next, Dear JP. I've been in a relationship with my man for 2 years now, and it's been good. But he also gives me red flags with some of his behaviors that remind me of my ex. It gives me the different side of the same coin type of feel. He also is a bit stuck in his environment, which is just currently what he's in right now because he's too old to be trying to relocate. We have a 20-year age gap.
Damn!
But the facts. But it always has been my dream to move out of state. Now I have a very awesome opportunity to move out of the state, and I feel like it's a now or never opportunity. And now that I'm weighing pros and cons, it seems like our differences on a lot of things might cause problems in the future. So with this being said, should I stay and see where it goes, or should I take my opportunity while I have it? Ooh. Mm. Okay. Me first.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I feel like if you have to ask that question, you already know the answer.
I agree.
I just feel like if you are more torn to going or whatever, or just even, you know, 60% want to go, then go.
Mm-hmm. If I'm supposed to be with you, I'm supposed to be feeling 100% about you.
Yeah. I mean, I can understand not wanting to miss up on an opportunity, like miss out on opportunity, but it's just, I don't know. Like, if you care, stay. Or if he's very much stuck in his ways, you know, it's like, who is the supposed to be the one that gives?
I don't have time for it.
But no, I'm like, gone. Who's supposed to be the one that gives, though?
I'm gone.
Like, so should he fight for her and go with her?
But he's still stuck in his ways, so he's not changing.
That's not what she means, though. He's stuck in his environment. Like, he's not going to want to leave where he lives right now.
I'm gone.
But I'm saying, what if he does, though?
If he leaves with her?
Yeah, so, like, I'm saying, but on. I'm saying, but, like, should he go with her, or should she stay with him?
No. If I have an opportunity to go somewhere to make a better life for myself and possibly for you, then you can come with me.
That's true.
Come with me. And I'm not saying I'm going to leave you and stuff, but I'm not finna stay stuck in the past. You want to stay stuck back here, stay stuck back here, but I'm gone. I'm gone.
That's very true.
Because at the end of the day, I have to make something for myself. And I want you to be there. I need you to be there. Mm-hmm. But if you don't want to come into this future with me where we are progressing and doing better things for ourselves,
okay, Breacher.
Then I don't want to be with you.
Okay.
I'm serious. Like, I'm just saying.
I did not disagree. I'm locked in.
I don't want to be with you. I need somebody who's going to elevate with me. Like, we can't stay stuck at this same level for the next 6 months.
I think the main thing, though, is that we miss that is, like, a key point in this whole question. It's a 20-year age gap.
Yeah, we did overlook that.
I ain't gonna hold you, though. Like,
Grandpa,
you might just have to go ahead and go and leave motherfucker where he at. Because Grandpa ain't trying to... I don't know how old this person is, okay? But imagine if they're in their 30s. Mm-hmm. That means Grandpa's 50. Mm-hmm. Unc is 50. You might have to leave him where he at.
Yeah.
Because I ain't gonna hold you. If I was in my 50s, I don't want to leave and go uproot my whole life to go to a different city. I'm sorry. Love you or not. I've been there, done that. Not doing it again. Like, I already lived that part of my life. Like, yeah. I'm not doing it again.
And that's another thing. Like, so many people are on different life paths when they get with each other. Like, because that's like 20 years, I did everything you doing right now already.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I already relocated. Like, stuck in my ways. What you mean? I ain't from here.
Exactly.
I moved to your state. Like, I'm cool. Like, so I just feel like, he really, you know what I'm saying?
I mean, no hard feelings.
Yeah, it's nobody's fault, but it's 20 years, man.
In my Usher voice, we were good, but we ain't good. You feel me?
We ain't good, but we good. I don't know. I feel like if that's your husband or something, like, that's a deeper conversation because y'all just gonna have to make it work. But honestly, you never know. If he really is rocking with you and he loves you, he might just go with you. But I feel like for you being 20 years, you know, his junior, like,
do what you gotta do.
Yeah,
for
you know, take the opportunity.
Sorry to who it is, but at the end of the day, I gotta do what's best for me. You're gonna do what's best for you.
You're only going to be this young and this ambitious
right now.
So do it now. 30 while you ago, got the balls to do it, go do it. Getting it back. Yeah, you're not getting it back. Just go do it. For sure. For sure.
Oh. Okay. Well, this next question has caught me off guard for a second.
I'm sorry, y'all. I just read the question. Please. What is this? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. Excuse me, Mom. this person said, Dear JP, I'm sorry, but this, okay. Dear JP, this one time a guy asked me, so this is a girl. So she said, this one time a guy asked me if I eat ass because he liked his ass ate. And since he was so fine and had money, I ate that ass. Would a woman want to eat her man's ass if she really loves him and he's into that? I don't eat ass, so I don't know.
I don't even think it's about eating ass, though. I think it's just more so like,
if I love you, would I?
It's not even
that.
I think the deeper question here in this ass eating scenario is. Deeper question though is just about your sexuality in general, like exploring who you are sexually. And I am somebody who feels like there is nothing that I shouldn't be able to do when we're having sex.
True.
We should, like, nothing should be off the table.
You know what?
Oh God.
This is what, you know, what reminds me of that, like, every time I, like, think about that now, like, when I'm thinking about it, the first thing that popped in my head was when SpongeBob tried to try Gary Snail food. And this is how I feel about her.
Oh, my God.
A little.
No, I just feel like there's nothing you shouldn't be able to try sexually with your partner.
I agree.
If... you know, you want your ass ate. Like, most women like their ass being ate, right? Why can't men get their ass ate? I don't know. I just feel like there's nothing wrong with it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you can suck a man's nipple just like you suck a woman's nipple. Like,
it's... that's weird.
No, but I'm saying, look, once again, hey, don't point the finger, bitch.
That's weird.
I'm not saying anything's weird or not weird. I'm just saying there should be nothing that you can't do sexually with your partner. As long as it's consensual and nobody is physically getting, well, not detrimentally harmed. sometimes you get a little
PG-13.
Yeah, because this is PG-13. Thank you. Explicit content. But no, like, you know, sometimes you get a little banged up. Okay? But as long as nobody is ending up in the hospital and it's all consensual, there should be nothing that you can't try.
Question though.
Yes.
If you did end up in a hospital from sex, would that be a good thing?
I mean, it depends the injury, you know what I'm saying? Like, we'll keep that in house.
Next.
But
it's up to your description. If you love him, do it. If you don't want to do it,
I mean, regardless, have fun. If you want to eat his ass, eat his ass. If he wants his ass ate, you feel like eating ass that day, become a munch. Just be a munch. Like,
what is it called? Fetal position.
Just toss a salad or two. It's fine. You'll be fine. You'll be fine. Next question. Okay, we gotta go. Okay. Dear JP, why do I still feel connected to my ex?
Because you fucked them.
Is it that simple?
Yeah. Why else would you be feeling connected to somebody?
No, that's not the only reason you get connected to people. Like,
you can have an emotional affection of yes, but that physical...
That's not always what solidifies it, because I have relations with people that I've never had sex with that I can't, not like, I'm not romantic, but like platonic, like my friends, right? I have ex-friends that I still think about to this day.
This says ex, not ex-friend.
It didn't say ex-boyfriend or ex-girlfriend or ex-husband, it said ex.
Well, I'm talking about ex-boyfriend.
Okay, well, I'm glad that's what you're talking about. But for platonic relationships as well, you can still be connected to somebody You know what I'm saying? And not, and still think about them. Yeah. And well, that's, maybe you're just an alien and that's the case for you. But normal people can get connected to people and not have sex with them. I just think that it's okay. And the reason you probably do still feel connected is because you shared experiences with that person. Like we talked about a few episodes ago, and we talked about intimacy. Yeah. You shared experiences with this person. You did things with them. You had deep conversations with this person. You know, just experienced life. Mm-hmm. And there's a good chance that you're always going to be connected to them in some way, and that's okay. But you just learn to process things and put them in a certain space in the back of your mind and just let them kind of live there in their memories and just move on. Mm-hmm. So you can still feel connected, but if it's hindering you to the point where you can't move on and like be with like new people, then mm-hmm. it's something you should probably look a little deeper
into. Yeah, I agree. But for the most part, it's because of that physical interaction.
Yeah, I disagree, but we can agree to disagree.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like that's just romantic. But every connection, you know what I'm saying? Some people that I cared about more, and this is romantically too, some people that I cared about the most are people that I've never had sex with. And we built an emotional and mental bond because some people just operate that way.
True.
And I'm saying, so, you know, it doesn't, that definitely adds to it for sure.
I understand platonically that way.
No, I'm not talking, wise, but I don't mean platonically either. There's some people that, I mean, it's like sex before marriage. Like some people build that emotional bond and they've never had sex. That's what I'm just saying. Definitely the physical aspect adds another layer to it, but yeah.
Moving on.
It's because I'm right. No big deal.
Yeah, okay. We can, like you said, agree to disagree. Mm-hmm. How about y'all let us know, like, who y'all vibing with more on that topic?
Both of us are right.
Yeah, though. We're both right, but I'm just saying, you know, like, you see it, I see it, gang. And we, yang, yang.
Oh my God. Next question.
So this one says, Dear JP, I went through a problem when I was diagnosed with cancer. What do you do when no relationship or no amount of money can solve your problem?
Ooh.
For that, I would really have to say that that's something that you would really, what would you say, have to look within? Or
I think that you need to talk to God about it. Yeah. Whatever you believe in, whoever you pray to, I feel like that's where you need to go inside yourself and really lean on your faith. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, we're all brought on this planet, once again, no matter what you believe in, we're all brought on this planet with everything that we need to survive mm-hmm. within us.
Every tool.
If you're sad, you have something inside you that will cure your sadness. If you're sick, there's different things that you can do that you already have the knowledge to do that will heal you. Mm-hmm. And turning it over to God. And I just feel like sometimes leaning on people and being in like romantic relationships or having friends, families, they don't understand, especially if they're not going through that, mm-hmm. you know?
It's hard for somebody to understand what you're going through when they don't have the same symptoms.
Yes.
Like it's really hard. Like I can explain it to you. Oh, having a baby feels like this, but if you still never had a baby, I still would never know what the butterflies is or something like that type of way.
Yes.
So I feel like that is something that should be,
It's like feeling hopeless. You know what I'm saying? Like that's a feeling of hopelessness. We've all been there at some point.
No
matter what the situation was, though. But you just really have to lean on your faith, mm-hmm. lean on the spiritual aspect of yourself, the religious aspect of yourself, however you want to look at it. But that's already in you. That strength that you need to push through and persevere, mm-hmm. that's already in you. Mm-hmm. Lean on that divineness that's already in you to get you through what you need to get through.
Yes.
Because nobody
can do it but you.
Your darkest days were experienced alone.
Oh, what did you say the other day? He was like, your greatest achievement. Your greatest achievement was done by your worst actions or something like that.
I can't remember. I'd be saying
I think it was something. I know exactly what you're talking about. Like a little figure eight type of thing, because what goes around comes around type of thing.
Yeah, and but that's the truth though. But at the end of the day, some of your hardest battles are fought alone, and they're gonna be fought alone. Mm-hmm. And that's what people need to normalize. You don't always have somebody in your corner to pull you through something. Sometimes you gonna be home alone, down and out, and the only thing you got to do is get on your hands and knees and pray. Mm-hmm. The only thing you got to do is speak to whatever religious or spiritual figure you got.
You know, that's yourself.
All you gonna have.
Yeah, because all you got is yourself at the end of the day.
Yeah, and that type of faith, that type of belief within the universe and God within yourself, that's that stuff that can't be bought. No amount of money gonna solve that type of problem if you ain't got that.
You gotta manifest that. I understand that this is going on with me, but I'm gonna have a better day. Mm-hmm. I know that I'm going through this right now, but I know 20 years from now, I'm gonna be doing this.
Exactly.
Or I got faith that I can arise from all of this.
Because that's nothing but a higher power speaking through you.
Guidance through you.
Exactly.
Showing you that you're not, and even if so, you're still not the only person in the world, or you're not alone. We are all here for each other. We all have something wrong with us that we just got to handle on our own.
Yeah. And in that case, like in like the waking world and like real time, like things that you can do if the relationships that you already have aren't helping you feel fulfilled in your trauma or your heartache or your situation, you can always join like support groups of people that are going through the same thing. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, you know, when your friends have kids, you guys don't relate anymore because now they're going through something you've never been through.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time,
you can find someone
like-minded people that are on the same path in life that you're on. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, sometimes those are worse things, like, you know, cancer groups or things of that nature. But sometimes that's the strength that you need. Like, lean on your village that's going through the same stuff that you're going through.
So they'll understand. They'll be able to relate to what you got going on. Yeah.
But that was a good question. And
that
even outside of the cancer diagnosis, sometimes we are just going to go through things that are just tough.
Mm-hmm. And we just got to make sure that we, even though it's 10 steps back, we're taking it 11 forward.
Yeah. Next question. Dear JP, I don't get along with one of my parents. How can I manage that?
Mm. Oh.
This is a loaded
question. It could be brought up many different types of ways.
I would need to know the
aspect of what, like, why you don't get along. Because this is really vague. Like, I don't get along with you because, say for instance, you abused me. Or I don't get along because I don't know who you are. Or I don't get along because you just haven't been around.
Yeah, there's so many layers, just like you said. Like, is there abuse involved? That can be verbal, mental, physical. Is it, you know, we just don't mesh? I think something that needs to be normalized too within families is just because we're family doesn't mean that we're friends,
mm-hmm.
right? So, you know, we're born, you know what I'm saying? And like, we're sisters, mm-hmm. right? But just because we're sisters doesn't mean I like you.
Mm-hmm.
I could just not like who you are as a person.
I could love you.
I could love you to death. You're my family. But that don't mean I want to go get drinks with you after work on a random
exactly.
Thursday. You know, like we're not cool like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, unfortunately, based on whatever type of relationship you have with one of your parents, sometimes you just don't like your parents. And I think when you become older, the best way to manage that is we're grown. Like, you don't have to see me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to see you.
But then again, sometimes you, as you grow up, you understand why your parents were that way.
Yes.
And then you'd be like, man, I didn't even realize it until I had to go through it or some type of way like that.
Yeah.
So then you'd be like, oh man, okay, yeah. Thanks, mom. Thanks, dad, or whoever. You know, like, I appreciate that.
Yeah. I would need more clarity on this question. Like, why don't you get along with your parents?
Yeah. But I do. I'm sorry that you don't get along with your parents. I really do hope that you do find a way in your heart or their hearts to manage to get along, because we all need our moms and fathers. Like, we definitely need them. They're supposed to be our backbones and our support groups. Next one, which kind of ties into the one that you just said. Mm-hmm. Like, this person said, I was brought up in a single parent home. Never truly knew my father, but he wants to know me now. Should I give him a try or stay in my way since I don't know him anyway? I feel that if your father is trying to get to know you, I think you should give that lending hand. You don't have to, but I think you should try. And that's all I'm saying.
I this is another loaded question, right? Because it's knowing the background of why you don't speak to your father, why he's not in your life, or this, that, and the other. The thing is, though, once again, needs to be normalized. If you don't want a relationship, you don't have to have one.
Don't have to have one.
You don't have to have one.
Definitely not.
And that's totally okay, too. It's one thing to know somebody and then they were taken out of your life. It's one thing to have not known them at all.
Yeah.
And if you're living a fulfilled life and there's no
need.
Little shadow in the back of your mind or in the back of your heart that feels like you're missing something, then stay fulfilled in your life.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't got to talk to them. But if there's a little shadow of a doubt in the back of your mind, like, what is he like? Or are we the same? Do we walk the same? Do we eat the same? You know, whatever it is. Do we have the same sense of humor?
So I have
a question. Speak to him. Try to have some type of relationship, but make sure you set your boundaries and make sure he respects those boundaries.
So I have a question. What if you don't want to meet him, but yet you are having those daddy issues? And I mean, when I say daddy issues, I mean they're like, you're coming across men who don't know how to treat you right. And you're wondering why you're not, you know.
But you see now.
It's getting off topic a little bit.
It's not getting off topic. Okay, but something I want to point out with this. This was something that was brought up, getting a little deep in my personal business, is I went to therapy and this is something that was brought up. Okay, I think everybody should go to therapy. That's just me being a almost 30-year-old woman. Everybody that's in their early, mid, late 20s and so on and so forth needs to go to therapy.
To
it's just healthy. Even if you don't have trauma or anything like that, it's just healthy.
To talk to somebody
that's unbiased, that's not in your circle.
Mm-hmm.
But something that my therapist asked me is, with that same scenario, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that daddy issues or is that mommy issues? Because that's mommy issues. That's not daddy issues. It can go either way. It's two sides of the same coin.
Mm-hmm.
Same analogy from earlier.
Mm-hmm.
But that's mommy issues. Because a man's not treating you right. So who did you see when you were growing up that was getting treated
right.
a certain type of way by men?
Okay.
Was that your mom? Or did you see your dad treating your mom wrong?
Mm.
So what, you gotta really look
think
into
about,
yourself and think
yeah.
about that and see what the issue is. Because
okay.
to me, that sounds like mommy issues. That doesn't sound like daddy issues.
Mm-hmm.
But...
Well,
to me, what daddy issues is like seeking male validation, right? Like you do something and your mom shows up and your sister and whoever else, they show up for you and they're like, oh, congratulations, Paris. Congratulations. But you're still sitting there like, you know, like you want other type of validation. So I feel like that's daddy issues.
It could go other ways too.
So I just feel like it
can be flip flop.
Yeah,
it's not necessarily mommy. Like, cause I agree with you when you said mommy issues, but what I mean by daddy issues as well is meaning like how you could have, like, how you. But never mind, because I can't even get it off my head. Like I'm trying to say it in a way,
mm-hmm.
but it's not forming to where I want to say it correctly.
Just say it the best way you can.
So pretty much what I mean by daddy issues is when you know that you could have had this relationship,
mm-hmm.
but chose not to have it, and then claim like, oh, why is it still happening to me?
Oh, so you're saying you thought that you were like healed and it wasn't going to bother you, but then...
Yes. But it's
once
still
again,
it kind of like it's not lurking like, oh, what I'm thinking about it, but at the back of my mind, it's something, it's a void, it's something.
I feel like sometimes too, once again, in this situation, I think therapy would be super beneficial,
mm-hmm.
because that's something that you would kind of have to figure out, like, what's the problem. So like if that was me in that situation, right? We'll say it's me, okay? Well, I'm just trying to give a scenario.
These are just questions that
people ask. I'm just trying to give a scenario.
We're just asking about it and talking about it.
In this scenario, we'll say it's me, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I'm not talking to my father is because he triggers me. Or mm-hmm. I decided I went to therapy and I'm healed and I'm living a great life.
True.
And this is a trigger. As long as that
trigger
isn't tampered with.
Okay.
I'm good.
Right.
But now, since he's trying to get to know you and you're like, oh, I live a fulfilled life. Now that trigger has been tampered with. And now you're having all these issues and stuff like that. I feel like it's totally okay to meet your father. But I am a big believer that sometimes there is no such thing as closure. There's nothing that you can say to me that will make the situation okay. I have just never been okay with that. Like when you see it in TV shows, like, oh, I just had to get closure. Right. Like no. I don't know. I don't believe in closure. No. I don't think there's it's no never, such thing.
Yeah. It's a merry-go-round. It's going to be all
yeah, because it's just going to keep opening this can of worms. But yeah. I feel like in this scenario, you would have to really like talk to somebody and see why.
What the underlying problem
exactly.
is and why you're not
was
talking
it a
to
trigger?
That person.
Or is it just something you buried? Or
is it something that you... It can be anything.
Yeah.
It can be anything.
I agree.
It can be definitely anything. But like
Ooh,
you
these
said...
These questions
I
are...
promise you guys, that's talking about a lot of stuff.
These questions yeah. are deep.
But like you said, a therapist, for those who want to use one, use it. I think it is very beneficial.
Yes.
Back then, when I was a child, I really didn't take into consideration of how helpful it could have been.
Yeah.
So in my adult years, when I do get the chance to do one, I would definitely take it into consideration because it is very helpful. It clears your mind. It makes you think like, wow.
And I think the stigma behind therapy, like every session doesn't have to be some deep, like I'm gonna leave like just completely shredded and in tears. Like sometimes you go in there and it's just, how was your week? How was work?
Somebody asked.
What'd you cook for dinner this week? Did you try something new? Did you go to the movies by yourself? Like every session is not some deep, like, oh, I'm gonna leave with all these wounds that have been opened up in the session. It's not gonna be like that. But once again, I'm not like some like therapist, super advocate or something, but I just feel like it's beneficial for anybody who wants to take the time to go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, next question. Dear JP, my boyfriend is very family oriented, but I believe his family is very arrogant and not someone I care so much to be around forever, but I like him separately from them. However, it is an issue because down the line, I want a family of my own and I fear I'll always have to share my own little family with his. What do I do?
What?
Personally, I can't marry somebody who has a fucked up family.
I definitely can't either.
I can't. And now, keep in mind, that's your family, and you're used to dealing with them, and you're used to being all up in their issues and whatever. I don't have to deal with that. Now, actually, let me rephrase my answer. I can marry somebody who has a fucked up family, but there needs to be boundaries, and if your family does not respect those boundaries, then I can't do it. Like, I understand family is family, and you can't help the family you were born into, but if they're bleeding over into our life and fucking up our shit, no, absolutely not.
I wouldn't even want to do it from the get-go. I'm not finna even say if it's boundaries or nothing like that. Like, it's just a no. Like, because why start off something when it's already destruction?
Well, it's already commotion. But keep in mind, she said that, let's see here, that they like their boyfriend's family outside of... They like their boyfriend outside of their boyfriend's family.
So she only like her boyfriend. She don't like his family.
Yes. That's what I'm saying.
I don't
want
to be with you.
But I'm saying you can't help the family that you're born into.
I understand.
Like, what if he's this great person?
I understand.
And the family's fucked up.
I understand it. But at the end of the day, when it comes down, push come to shove, I don't want you to have to be like, I have to choose. Like, you feel me?
You damn straight gotta choose. What do you mean?
But that's the thing.
No, because it's choose the side of who's right. That's the thing. People don't want to tell somebody if they're wrong. Look,
they're
I don't care.
Do that. They're gonna ride
Maybe
for the family.
It just depends the person, depends the situation. Because with me, the type of person that I am, I don't care. Mother, father, brother, sister, cousin, husband, whoever. If you're wrong, I'm going to tell you you're wrong.
Yeah, I'm gonna tell you wrong, but I'm still gonna ride with my family.
No. If my family does something bogus to my spouse, I'm not riding with my family in that situation because you're wrong.
Man,
I'm not about to justify you being wrong.
How many people do that?
So, my hand is risen for those who can't see.
Mine is risen too, but it's not that many people that do that.
But we don't know how this person is. Like they said, their boyfriend's great outside of the family. Now, if she was saying that he goes along with the family and da-da-da and does all this fucked up shit, okay, cool. But nah, I just feel like...
Find somebody that your family
likes. I feel like that's your two options. Either find somebody that that you like their family and their family likes you, or tell them they have to set boundaries. And the first time he lets them disrespect the boundaries that he set, then get out of there.
Because what if the
I feel like everything is worth an effort, was worth effort though.
What if the first time is say for instance y'all together, y'all 6 months a year in, and the first time it happened today. Now what? You gonna stay?
It doesn't matter. That's what I'm saying. Set the boundaries. But and saying, if he lets them, it's just like every time you get with somebody, it's the risk that they might cheat on you. I'm not going to stay just because you might cheat because your father was a cheater and his father was a cheater. That's not fair because I can't help that you were born into that family. It's not, though.
That's a little different.
It's not. Because at the end of the day, everybody is capable of something.
Yeah.
So once again, like, put your best foot forward. If you really love him or you rocking with him or whatever, then tell him he has to set those boundaries. But you also need to be strong enough that if he lets them disrespect those boundaries, then get out of there. It doesn't matter how long it's been, 1 year, 2 year, 10 years.
Yeah.
Once they disrespect and he doesn't rock with you and he sides with his family, even if they're wrong, then get out of there.
I definitely
end the discussion. Because you can't put that off on him because you don't know how he's going to act in that situation.
I agree.
Unless he already has done that, which we don't have that context, but if he already has done that, then same thing, get out of there.
Yeah, I understand, but you know, I just been through some shit, and it's like, I'm getting about that. You ain't even know.
But see, now you're speaking from personal experience.
Yeah.
I've also been in a situation where my ex's family didn't like me, but at the end of the day, that person was very good at setting boundaries, and he laid down the law and told his family that ain't what this is, and they respected that.
Understood. You see.
So I'm like, I'm saying. Yeah, so we're speaking from
different angles. Yeah. That's why I'm like, get up out that door. Until I guess once somebody does show me that they can do that, then I'll, you know, be like, okay.
But once again, you gotta give them. That's all I'm saying.
I'm gonna give them the chance.
And that's all. I'm saying.
But I will. But the thing is, I'm giving you the chance, but I'm already 10 steps ahead of you.
But that's not 10 steps ahead. That's called trauma, okay? You're not 10 steps ahead, bitch. You're traumatized. You're anxious as fuck, okay?
I'm
10 steps ahead. No, you're anxious.
Something what? I'm gonna go on. Feel it. It's getting my bones. Oh my gosh.
No, bitch, you're traumatized. That's a trauma. Oh my goodness. But yes, but at the end of the day, me and Paris are saying the same thing.
Yes.
Just give him a chance, but at the same time, that's disrespected, out of there.
Out of there. Peace. Gotta go.
Peace.
Gotta go. So the next one. These are some really
good ones. Yeah, these are really good ones.
Like, man. The next one says, what is the difference, dear JP, what is the difference between real love and love bombing? And how do you know if that's what's going on in your relationship?
Ooh, Lord. Ooh, Lord. I love talking about love bombing. can everybody hear me? Let me tap this. Love bombing is a form of manipulation. If you do not know what manipulation means, please look it up in the dictionary. If somebody is love bombing you, you are being manipulated. How to know if somebody is love bombing you? They will shower you in affection, shower you in gifts and all these things in the very beginning. And as soon as you start to see that taper off, okay, you've been love bombed. And sometimes love bombing is confused with somebody being romantic. Romance and love bombing are two different things. Mm-hmm. Real love is slow.
They take their time. They patient.
Real love takes time. I personally don't believe in that. It was love at first sight.
No.
I don't believe in that. Personally, that's just me. Once again, trauma. I'm 10 steps trauma. Ahead of you. But I just don't believe in that. But I feel like, you know, love is patient. Love is kind. Like, mm-hmm. It's not something that is going to be rushed. It's not going to be like, oh my God, we went on one date and he bought me a brand new Chanel bag and took me riding in a Mercedes. And then we went to this really cool party and I met all his friends. And he
love
told mom. Me that he's looking to get married tomorrow.
Love mom.
Isn't that crazy?
Love
no. Mom. You just got love bombed. That's what that is. And then 3 months down the line, you're like, I don't know why he did me like that. Like, you're being love bombed. But I feel like sometimes you got to fight past those butterflies in your stomach. Mm-hmm. And that's how you know if it's love. It's slow. It kind of creeps up on you.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a candle.
It's
like a candle, right? Like, it starts to burn. Mm-hmm. It's all hot. But it takes a minute to really
get
to where it needs to be so you can smell that first mm-hmm. little whiff. Mm-hmm. You know, and once you smell that first whiff, it's like it's all through the house. Like, you go in the bathroom, you smell, you're in the laundry, you smell the candle like, from upstairs.
Like,
that's what love is to me. Like, it's very slow.
It's
slow burning,
yes.
Like a candle.
Yes.
Now, once again, this is just my personal opinion. You asked for our advice. somebody will probably tell you that love at first sight or love bombing is not a thing or whatever. This is just how I feel. It's manipulation. It's somebody pretty much trying to give you a false first impression. Like when you go to a job interview, your first day at work, you're like, oh my God, yes, I always wanted to work here. And they just don't know that you quit every job that you get. You show up 2 hours late every single day and that you go and you go sharpen your pencil every 5 minutes. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's like that. That's love bombing to
me. It's just keeping somebody close enough, but not close enough.
Yeah.
I want you right where I got you. So you ain't going nowhere. I know you ain't going nowhere.
And they do all of that so they can do that to you. Mm-hmm. And then you get into all these other manipulation tactics like breadcrumbing and...
We're going to talk about it.
Don't even get me started on breadcrumbing. But yes. Ooh, the next one. Short and sweet. My man's bad in bed. How do I tell him?
You want to go first or you want me to go first?
You go first.
Oh, okay. If my man was bad in bed, I'm blunt.
Get up and get out.
I would definitely, get up, get out, get on. Or, you better drop and give me 20.
Sheesh.
And get it off that way. And then we're going to talk about you later. But, you know, I couldn't do it. I'm sorry.
Look,
I'm sorry. Fake it till you make
Fuck no. This is coming from the wise age of 29. Everybody can be taught if they're willing to learn. Look, sometimes some people like teaching. Mm-hmm. I like teaching people new things just all the time. So I feel like if I can teach you and you're open to learning, you get better and better. That's my way of molding you into almost the perfect sex partner, right? But if you're somebody where I keep telling you that your fingers don't go there, they go here. You don't do like that, you rub like this, and you're not listening to me, you can get the fuck up and get the fuck on. For real. Because
so
we're not
professional. How many times you gonna tell this person before they do it right?
But you can tell. If you tell them the first time, they're like, oh, like this, and they start doing it like that, and you're like, okay, there you go, good job. You know what I'm saying?
They do it like that one night, but and then they come back up again.
Once again, you're speaking from a place of trauma. Sometimes it's not like that. Sometimes you tell them that one time and, you know what I'm saying, they have to obviously practice. Once again, you're teaching here.
First impression.
But now after that first time, they mess up the second time, and then every time you're sitting there like, oh, just get the fuck up. Then tell them to get the fuck on. Like, you know what I'm saying? You don't have to have sex with that person. That ain't your man.
That ain't your man.
Tell him he gotta go.
Gotta go.
Or tell him he needs to fix the problem.
Fix the problem.
Unless it's a problem he just can't fix because he was just born like that.
You better get him some Viagra. Fuck. Army strong. He ain't going to sleep that night. You ain't going to sleep either.
Oh my
you better
God.
You better not got to work the next day.
Oh my God. Girl, go to the next question. There's no, wait, before you go to the next question though, long story short, there is no nice way to tell somebody that they suck.
It isn't.
You just kind of have to tell them they suck. But you just have to say it as, not nice as possible, but you just kind of have to say it without using really offensive words. Like, your dick's not big. Like, or you just, you know, just use not, you know, I don't really know. There's no nice way to say you suck.
Never mind. Let's go to the next one.
Like, but you're not just gonna tell somebody you suck. It's like, you know, your performance left a lot to be desired upon.
I'm just gonna rate it a 5, and they know it's bad.
But men are, you know how men are. They're gonna be like, why was it a 5? And see,
and
now
I'm gonna say,
the type
you
could have
did this better. I like it this way. I told you to slap ass, you ain't do it. I told you to pull hair, you ain't do it. Like, why you ain't? I'm telling you to do something, and you ain't doing it. I'm not
the
delicate
type. I'm the type of person that if, you know, you can tell if I don't want to tell you something, right? Now, usually I'm not really like this, but if you keep picking, then I start getting a little, not mean, but a little too honest. Mm-hmm. Like, if I rate you a 5, you're like, why was it a 5? And I'm just like, oh, well, it just wasn't that great. You weren't as aggressive as I wanted. Mm-hmm. Like, so I wasn't aggressive? You're trying to say I wasn't aggressive? And then if you start picking at me, and I'm like, well, motherfucker. Like, and then I'll, you know what I'm saying?
I'm just gonna be blunt with it. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I agree. That's what I'm saying. You just have to be blunt with it. But just obviously, you know, you don't just sit up there and say, you know, you're whatever. But just say it a certain type of way. But there's no nice way to say it. No. Just say it and just don't try not to use super offensive words.
I don't, but I know.
Yeah, but just get to the point. Like you suck. There's no nice way to say it.
Are you ready for round two or no? Fuck is you talking about?
Oh,
get it up.
My God.
Next question. Dear JP, am I an asshole? I am an asshole. I will answer that. I became friends with a girl through I became friends with a girl through a comic hobby. We hit it off and in the beginning hung out a lot. Things seemed to be going good for the first few months of the friendship. At the time, I believed that our friendship could grow. But things started changing. She started showing traits of a person I do not physically fuck with. Lying, manipulating, bullying, and just all hateful energy. Why did she change? I decided to just distance myself. I just stopped making plans to hang out, responded to less and shorter, and just started creating space. Maybe I was wrong for not comforting her face to face, but based on the way I had personally witnessed her treat others, they disagreed with her or didn't support her or anything. I just didn't want to take the heat. She never confronted me on it, but multiple people with multiple friends approached her and asked me if I had beef with her. I truly don't have any beef with the girl, but I'm too old at this point to allow characters like this to my story. I think of a lot of mutual friends are uncomfortable with what I've done. So am I the asshole for ghosting an ex-friend? Bitch, no. Fuck. No.
Yes. I wouldn't say you're an asshole. That's not the case. I think that in that situation, it seems like you were trying to spare someone's feelings. Like you didn't want to hurt that person's feelings.
I said she's not the asshole.
No, but keep in mind, that's not healthy communication because at the end of the day, you can just tell somebody politely, I don't want to fuck with you. But I don't fuck with you no more.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. And you know, it doesn't have to be some drawn out thing where you're like, oh, I don't fuck with you because of X, Y, Z, A, B, C, you know, this, that, and the third. You can literally just say, personally, you moving weird, I don't fuck with you.
But the thing is, if I stop saying something to you, you feel me? Like, you already know it's some type of distance. So,
but at the same time, you guys have in this situation, y'all have mutual friends together. So once again, I don't think you're an asshole. It was the wrong thing to do. I think the better thing to do, since you have mutual friends and y'all still gonna be in the same circle, and at some point somebody's either gonna ask her or ask you what happened, I think respectfully, just go up to her. Or if she approaches you, not saying you have to do all this extra shit, but if she approaches you, I would just be like, respectfully, you was moving weird. I don't fuck with you.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Like, I don't owe you an explanation. You just was moving weird. I don't fuck with you.
Exactly. But me, on the other hand, I don't gotta say shit to you.
Yeah, so I just think in your case, you know, obviously the nicer way to say this would just simply be to let them know that they were doing some things that you didn't agree with and you decided to remove yourself from the situation. That's it. I don't think that makes you an asshole either way. I do think that if it's somebody that you were spending time with, though, that you shouldn't ghost them. Yeah. Ghosting, to me, is just dated. Unless it's somebody that you literally met yesterday and you're like, I don't fuck with you. But if it's somebody you were actually spending time with who has the same friends as you, then ghosting is not cool. I would just simply tell them, I don't fuck with you.
Yeah, I guess, in a way. But it just depends on the situation, on why and how and when. And why she didn't want to tell her. You know, we don't know what made
her.
She said she started seeing traits. So when you see traits of something or somebody, sometimes you don't want to approach them. Sometimes you don't want to say something. You just want to just drop it and not say it.
And I think that's totally fine. If you don't have mutual friends, you're going to be around each other. Yeah. Well, we don't know how close this friend is to this person. Like, what if they...
But I'm not talking to her about nothing that we're talking about. You talking to them about what happened between us or whatever.
We don't know the situation. But that's what I'm saying. I think just because it's mutual friends, if it wasn't mutual friends, then ghost them and be done with it. Live your life. But I think just because it's mutual friends, you kind of have to... Say something. Only if they say something to you.
Yeah.
Only if or you if you want to be, you know what I'm saying, be that person, just get the cold soldier and just be like, whatever.
I'm like, I ain't saying nothing. You bring it to me. I'm like, okay, what's up?
Yeah, and if they bring it to you, then be like, you know.
Then I'll talk about it. But other than that,
It is what it is. I did what True. I wanted to do. Like, at the end of the day, if you feel some type of way about it, I'm sorry. Come talk to me about it. But you did something that made me feel this way. You should know how. If you know, you already know we was close. And you see me distant. Why am I distant? What did you do? You feel me? Shit like that. Not saying like it's had to be bad or something like that. But you feel me? If we was fucking with each other, we was close, we was cool. You know, I'm not like the, you know, I'm not that type of person. And then I could have said something to you like, hey.
But sometimes people don't realize they're doing something wrong. Like, yeah, maybe sometimes when they're being bullies or when they're, you know, that's just how they always have been. And mm-hmm. people haven't checked them in yep. the past. You know, so I'm not saying you got to be that person that puts them in their place. But sometimes they really genuinely don't realize that. Yeah. Oh, damn, I didn't realize you thought I was being hateful or being a bully or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe I can correct my behavior because I do appreciate your friendship.
Yeah.
So that's what I mean. In this situation, being the more mature person, True. I think that you should say, if they approach you, you don't have to go out of your way, but if they approach you, just be like, respectfully, you're a very negative person. I don't want that type of energy in my space. And if they try to ask you to elaborate on that in a respectful way, then if you feel like you want to, then go ahead. If not, just tell them respectfully, I don't really want to talk about it. I just don't vibe with you.
Right.
I'm cool on you. That's it. And then be done with it. Because right. you don't have to, you know, obviously vibe with anybody you don't want to, mutual exactly. friends or not.
I agree. We
on the
we
we'll, here, baby. We like the we be saying the same thing, but different fonts.
Four fonts.
Yeah, different fonts. Dear JP, I'm no longer attracted to my partner, but I don't know how to tell her without hurting her feelings. What do I do? Okay. There's layers to this question.
Why aren't
it's such
you?
A simple question, but there's so many layers.
My first question is, why aren't you attracted to her anymore? Like, what happened that triggered you to... Because, you know, when you get with somebody, it's all butterflies. What stopped the butterflies?
I'll let you finish your answer before I go.
No, I'm just asking. That's my question.
I feel like there's multiple things, right? You said partners. We don't know if this is your wife. We don't know if this is your girlfriend, your long-term partner, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on the nature of this relationship, one, there shouldn't be anything that you say to me that... You feel like there shouldn't be anything that you feel like you can't say to me.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's like, oh, hey, babe, you know, I think we should go to the gym. We both put on a couple pounds, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm your husband, I should be able to tell you that. If I'm your wife, I should be able to tell you that.
Mm-hmm. It's not right? what you say.
Even boyfriend, girlfriend, right? You should still be able to say whatever it is you need to say.
Mm-hmm.
But once again, like Pierre said, why are you not attracted to your partner? That's the deeper question. Because at the end of the day, is it for things that are more vain? Like, oh, she had kids and let herself go.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not attracted to her anymore. Or is it something like, oh, well, I just noticed she, I don't know, stopped brushing her teeth and I just don't.
Oh my
her
God.
Breath smells and she's not attracted
oh my
anymore.
God. Don't, oh, Lord.
Like what is it?
Oh my God.
Is it because maybe morally she started being a bad person or somebody that you don't sympathize with anymore and you're like, I don't really mess with you because mm-hmm. since we've been together, you know, the past 3 years you've been acting kind of negative and evil and I don't find that attractive.
And then another thing,
so what is it?
It could be different things that could have brought the problems in. It would probably not even hurt. It could be like money problems or like just family problems.
But in this case though, they said not attracted to her.
True.
They didn't say they're not feeling like an attraction period. Like to her, like there's something about her that is making you not attracted to her. So one, right. I would identify what that is, because maybe you don't even know.
Right.
Maybe you just woke up one day and you're like, damn, this bitch ugly.
Right.
Like,
you know? But you liked her. But the thing about it is you liked her in the beginning for a reason.
Yeah, so
backtrack. Figure out what made you stop liking it and go back to what could make you like it again. You never know.
Yeah, I would backtrack and try to figure out like why.
Yeah, that's the main question. Because
that one's a little, yeah. You know.
Oh, yeah. Backtrack. Get with your girl.
Just let her know. Just be gentle. Yeah. You know, there's no way to. Once again, just like we said earlier, there's no way to tell somebody a nice way they suck. There's no nice way to tell somebody
something bad about themselves.
That, especially if she's somebody who seeks your validation,
mm-hmm.
for you to tell her, I don't find you attractive anymore.
But that's something that a lot of us need to start accepting, being able to take criticism. Like a lot.
But once again, it depends why.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Because it could be this person's not attracted to her anymore because they saw somebody else. Mm-hmm.
That's so, what I'm saying. Like,
that's not criticism.
It's not, no, no, no. It's not criticism.
So in that case, I just feel like you need to figure out why you're not attracted to her anymore. Once you figure that out,
and also about why he's not attracted to her. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's criticism. What I'm saying. People need to take accept criticism. Why you don't like me anymore? Like, I understand. Okay, thank you.
Oh yeah, most people will. It depends the reason.
Yeah.
So I just feel like figure out why you don't like her, and then you'll be able to answer your own question mm-hmm. and how to tell her in a nice way.
Okay, we almost done, y'all. Jeez.
These are some good questions.
Y'all had some questions for us. Okay, the next one. Dear JP, I'm struggling with commitment. Not in relationship. I flourish with staying loyal to family and friends. I'm more struggling with commitment and staying focused to my goals. I think that it may have something to do with me feeling like building my own business and putting it in work for myself to be more productive and use my time. But still have to work 9 to 5 to support my family and pay bills. What advice would you give someone who is ready to better themselves and pretty much give the middle finger to the rat race? I say do it. If you are in a position to be able to provide for your family and still have your bills paid on time, go and support yourself and your dreams. I think we talked about this in the last episode, right?
Yes.
Support your dreams. You can't work for somebody else. Work for yourself because their dreams are already made.
Yeah, and I feel like, too, a lot of times we don't want to admit that sometimes you're working for your family, too. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, it's okay to still be a good parent, to still be a good wife or husband or whatever, and also support your dreams. Like, you can't lose yourself in the sauce. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, your kids, guess what? They got to grow up and get out your house. Yes. Guess what? Someday, hopefully, fingers crossed to whoever is reading, listening to this. But what happens if you get divorced? Mm-hmm. So you realize you just wasted 10 years of your life and...
For nothing.
So always invest in yourself while still doing what you need to do. Mm-hmm. I think it just comes down to the fact that you may realize that you're gonna be logging a lot of hours. Yep. But if you're dedicated and committed to yourself, then you're good.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you work that 9 to 5 just to work your 5 to 10. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Yeah. Speak that.
And then you still gotta go home and still be
mom and daddy.
Mommy and daddy. Everybody. And you know, whatever. Yeah. So
if you have the passion and you have the spirit, you are driven, like Jerron said, please, like, I would say, fuck them. Put the middle finger up. Do what you gotta do. Do what you gotta do. Because if you believe in yourself, you can make it. Definitely can. A mind is a powerful thing to use. So use it.
Yep. Stay committed to yourself. It's good to be committed to those around you and wanting to give 100% of yourself. But you can't give 100% of yourself to somebody else or to other people that rely on you when you can't even give 100% to yourself. Mm-hmm. So... commitment to yourself is first before anything else.
Mm-hmm. Always a fail.
And I'm going to stand on that.
Stand on me.
Next question. Dear JP, if you had to choose staying with your ex or facing your worst fears, which would you choose?
Which ex? Which ex? Depending on
the ex. I got a lot of fears now.
I do too.
Depends which fear we're talking about.
Right. Say it's your worst.
My worst? I got a lot of worst. They even.
No, they can't be even.
They equally yoked.
They can't be equally yoked. I ain't gonna lie. I would rather face my worst fear.
Me too. Because that's on trauma for real. Because I'll take worst fear behind door number 3.
Yeah. And I would take that because it'll pretty much, you know how when you get on a roller coaster and you're scared? Mm-hmm. And then once you go through it, you're like, oh, I did that. Let's go again. Like, now that I faced that fear, I'm ready for whatever challenges is next.
I just feel
so
like...
bring it on.
Yeah.
Bring it on.
Honestly, though, too, I can say I don't really have a terrible ex. Like, the situation itself was, like, I'm not trying to get all into my business, but the situation itself, like, it wasn't a traditional, like, he cheated on me and we thought that we ended on horrible. Me and my ex didn't really end on bad terms. I only really have one ex, and we didn't end on bad terms. So I just, yeah. I'm not trying to stay with them, but at the same time, I would rather face my worst fear.
Yeah, well, door number three.
Yeah, door worst number three, fear. Please. Yeah.
Worst fear me.
I'm good on that. Thank you.
Good, good. I mean, I just, you're an ex for a reason.
Yeah, let's just leave it like that. And that's how I feel, because then you're going to remember all the reasons why. You're like, damn, I should have just took the fear. Yeah. I'm scared of spiders, but I can step on them up. All right,
tap dance. Give them my click clackers.
Exactly.
Superstar. All right, so the next one. Ooh, okay. So it says, Dear JP, I was 0.4% away from passing the class and had to retake it, even though I had lost, I had lost both of my brothers 4 months apart during the semester, and there was nothing to do to accommodate me or appeal that I could file. In other words, should schools be more accepting or open to the fact that life goes on and real shit happens that can affect our focus? Yes, 100% I agree. I believe jobs, schools, like, they should understand that people, we are human. We're not robots. We have feelings.
I feel like that teachers and managers need to realize that this is not my real life. I go to class, I am here for an hour, 2 hours, whatever, and guess what? I go home to my real life. Mm-hmm. I come to work, I work my 9 to 5, but I'm only working my 9 to 5 to support the rest of my life, to support everything that happens after 5 p.m., everything that happens on the weekend, to support my kids, support my husband, my wife, whatever. I do all of that for that. Mm-hmm. So this is not my real life. So yes, sorry, I was outside and I ended up catching a cold. Mm-hmm. Sue me.
Sorry, it's raining so much and I can't make it to work and I live an hour and a half away and everybody else live 5 minutes away.
Yeah, and I just feel like they're human too. They're gonna understand unless they don't want to understand.
I think that's the problem. They don't want to understand.
If they don't want to understand, then they're just going to be company like, okay, rules. Whatever. Like, yeah.
Company rules.
Company rules, or, you know, the school standard or whatever.
I know the school standard, but does the school standard understand how I feel right now?
Yeah, so I definitely feel like maybe somebody over your teacher or whatever, or whoever is the one that gave you, you know, the grade for the class, I feel like you should try to go a step above them.
Yeah. Definitely though, because at the end of the day, if you had all your documents saying this is what was going on and that your focus wasn't there, they should have been able to help you, like, for real, for real. If students are the future of the world, why aren't you helping me?
Yeah, I agree 1,000%. So
next one.
So
that was a good one though.
That was a really good one. Because that's real life though. Yeah, we all get sick, you know, and it goes beyond the, my dog ate my homework. Yeah. Like, no, for real. Like, I got real life shit going on and you need to realize that. And I can understand if I was just skipping out. I can give any type of proof that you want, but this is what it is, for real.
And don't you hate just, I'm sorry, side note, sidetrack. Like, when you know you're working and you put in, they say you have to request a day off a month in advance. You put your day in, and then the day come, and they were like, oh, we said you couldn't get off. Who ain't getting off?
But at the same time, what makes me mad is when you request your PTO 2 weeks, a month, whatever, in advance. And what happens if you get sick? Like, I'm sorry that I didn't foresee myself freaking getting COVID. I don't know.
Right,
like,
something.
Sorry.
Jeez. Forgive me, Mom.
Yes. Okay, so we actually have one more question. But we actually have a bonus question.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's go ahead and read this question. Dear JP, a friend is currently pregnant by a longtime fling that doesn't want to be in a relationship. Despite his reservations on being in a relationship, he wants to keep the baby. She is thinking of abortion. What are your thoughts?
Read that one more time for me.
Yes. Dear JP, a friend is currently pregnant by a longtime fling that doesn't want to be in a relationship. Despite his reservations on being in a relationship, he does want to keep the baby. She is thinking of abortion. What are your thoughts?
I have two questions. Does she want to keep the baby? Or is she keeping the baby for him? If she wants to keep the baby, she keeps the baby. But if she's doing it because he wants to keep the baby and still is going to be in the baby's life, I think she should abort it.
And then disclaimer, we know this is a sensitive topic. Talking about this is abortion and things of that nature. This is in no way, shape, or form, you know, trying to sway you, to sway you in any type of way. This is but I feel opinions. Like there was a reason that abortion was put into place in the first place, because sometimes people just make honest to God mistakes. Mm-hmm. Right? One, not to get all preachy, but you should have known better. That man didn't want a relationship. The friend was having sex with him with the risk of having a baby and not being on some type of birth control. I don't know. And you ended up pregnant. You know, I also believe though that you shouldn't have to keep a child just because you made an honest to God mistake, because now you're fucking up that child's life because you probably didn't want the baby in the first place. So I feel like you should have that opportunity to right your wrong, but at the same time, don't keep a child just because he wants to keep it, and don't get rid of it just because he wants you to get rid of it. Right? So I feel like that needs to be something that you both agree upon.
But ultimately, it's your decision.
I think it is, but I also think that there's way more rights at play here than people ever really talk about, because at the end of the day, you can also choose to carry a child and sign away your rights if you don't want to be a mother.
Sure. You can give him the baby.
Exactly. So I feel like there's multiple things that you can do. Mm-hmm. You just kind of have to figure out
what you want to do. Pretty much.
But outside of that bonus question, which is a great bonus question, the last question is, Dear JP, from listening in, I know you two girls have been knowing each other your whole life, period. Yeah. I think it's amazing how two black women can empower each other and still be friends in today's society. Can you explain more about how y'all do it and explain that to us so others can follow in your footsteps?
Give each other space.
I think it comes from really understanding someone's habits, their mannerisms, and just who they are as a whole. Yeah. Because we, even though we're in the same walk of life where it comes to like our dating lives or where we are with children and marriage and all those things, I think that we are also two very different people.
Very different. But that difference of us brings us together, because you do what you like, I do what I like, but we also have the combination of where we like to do things together. So it's not like we're just the same person. I can't be around the same me, if you understand what I mean.
Yeah.
I like that you're different. Your books, you're nerdy. I'm not saying in a bad way, but you have that
I show the girl one side. Anime and she calls me a nerd.
No, but you just have that downside, and then I have that uppity side for you. Mm-hmm. So we kind of just yin yang, like I've been saying, we yin and yang in this. And it's just the fact of understanding, like she said, understanding that person, like really, truly trying to know who that person is and not overstepping your boundary of that person.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's just how I think we do it. And just, you know, having great parents to keep us together. A great back support. Like, you know, they did that. They kept us together. We kept each other together. Even though, you know, how they saying, like, you have a friend that even though y'all don't talk for 4 years, when y'all click up, it's that. That's how it's always been with us. We may not have always seen each other or been around each other, but she already know when I come around and when she come around, we that together. Ain't no ifs, ands, or buts around.
We literally have been like that for so long. And I think something that you mentioned a little bit ago was like giving each other space. Since we are two different people, sometimes you like to do things that isn't necessarily in my wheelhouse of things I'm wanting to do, but I let you have the space to do it. Mm-hmm. Same thing over here. Like sometimes I'm a very introverted person and I just want to sit in the house and just rot away for a whole weekend just reading my books and watching sappy TV shows. But you give me space to do that, and you're not in my face like, we have to go out today because I want to go. Like, you don't do that. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just giving each other space on a personal level. And I think with starting this podcast, it added an extra layer of bonding or platonic intimacy to our relationship that we already have. And I think that's very healthy. And I think that it's also realizing that professionally it's a new dynamic for us, but mm-hmm. professional relationships are also like 50-50, mm-hmm. okay? So sometimes you have 80%, I only got 20.
And sometimes you got 80 and I got 20.
And sometimes we both got 100%.
And we be right there.
And we rocking. And it'd be a great episode. Or it'd be like, oh yeah, we're going to record this day. Yes. We're going to edit this day and everything's great. Yes. But, you know, it's really give or take. And I think we let that person kind of have the day that they're having. Mm-hmm. So I think that's just great. And I think that we're going to continue to thrive. And at the end of the day, we're not just friends. We're sisters.
Yes. Because so. We are sisters.
Yes.
We stand together. We gonna talk about this next episode. We gonna talk. I can play it. But no. So to wrap up that, Dear JP, that was fun.
That was fun.
That was really interesting. Like, we really had some great questions. And like we said at the beginning of this episode, you guys can hit us up, DM us, all of that, and we'll talk about this once a month.
Yes.
So get your questions ready.
And don't be worried if you missed out on this one.
Yeah, because we got you on the next one. But for the next episode.
I know. I'm so excited.
Ugh. Oh my gosh. We're going to be talking about summer 2024 and what we want to be doing, what we expect to be doing, and how we finna be living. Like, we want to go see some exciting new things.
We're going to travel to new places.
Man, we're going to eat some different foods. We want. If you guys know any places y'all want to recommend of traveling, eating, or just different adventures. Oh, I want to go horseback riding now. Don't you?
I want to gallop. I've been horseback riding out here.
You have?
Yeah. I went to the stockyards and I went horseback riding.
Oh, I have not been to the stockyards.
It's fun. I love horseback riding. It's really fun.
We gotta go to, you gotta take me to this night.
Yeah, I think I went on a date or something there, but it was cool.
Yeah, it's cool. I like that. I wanna go. But yes, so the next episode is just gonna be a little talk about what we wanna do for the summer of 2024, because this year has went by so freaking fast. Yes. Like, we're already halfway through the year. 2025, it's here.
Oh my goodness. And we definitely just wanna spend summer 2024 just living with no regrets. Mm-hmm. And we, honestly, I'm trying to make it feel like summer 16.
Yes, like I'm sweet 16 all over again.
Honestly, even better than summer 16 for me personally, mm-hmm. summer 2017 was fantastic.
Yeah.
I met a lot of cool people. We went to Jamaica that year.
Yeah.
Went to Jamaica that year. I just feel like summer.
Fun.
Yeah, summer 2017 was lit. And I want to get back to just like doing new things, trying new experiences, mm-hmm. regardless of anything else that's going on in life.
What summer was the best for you guys? Like, if you had to think of one year that was just so much fun, was a blast, let us know. Like,
and what did you do?
Yeah, what happened? Explain to us, talk to us. But we're going to wrap this up. We thank you guys. Like, comment, subscribe to our podcast. We're on Spotify. Hit us up on IG, JP Podcast. Email us, jppodcast2024@gmail.com. We really do thank y'all and appreciate y'all for tuning in for this episode.
Yeah, we out. Turn us up. Don't turn us down.
Bye. Peace out.